All right. It's not how you start.
Amen.
How you finish. We're in chapter 5 of what we're discussing, governing principles for breakthrough believers, part 2. No. In every church, you'll find diversity is a mixture of a variety of unique people, races, cultures, personalities, background, gender, social, economic status, and levels of spiritual maturity, growth, and progress. These diversities, when properly implemented in an environment and culture of honor, can provide a positive catalyst for kingdom advancement. Now, as a child of God, your life assignment consists of, number one, bringing glory to God. And then secondly, advancing the kingdom of God. So you were created by God and for God. So now in this fifth chapter, we're going to look at two additional governing principles for raising breakthrough believers. And they are, number one, discipling and mentoring believers at different levels of maturity and gifting. And number two, cultivating a worshipful heart, an intense passion for his presence. So governing principle number one, discipling and mentoring believers at different levels of maturity and giftings. So the author, he starts out by stating, when believers are born again and added to the kingdom of God, we need to move into the process of discipleship immediately. Now, discipleship is someone we need to mold them through changing their thinking patterns so that they'll devote themselves to a new pattern of behavior and conduct, expressing the desired lifestyle. Now, like Apostle was saying earlier, in the church, there's so many people that's in churches everywhere that they have not changed the way that they think, and so they still have the same kind of behavior, not representing Christ and that sort of thing. In a lot of churches, it's all right, but how many know with we are really boarding the purposes of God when we are not really concerned about, our lifestyles and people that's around us. You know, a lot of times we may believe a certain thing, but then we allow people around us, we compromise our stance for Christ, you know, where we can't be straight up. You know what I'm saying? We can't be straight up and, you know, without worrying about somebody labeling us, you know, as holier than thou and those kind of things of that nature. But we're not going to be able to fulfill the call of God on our lives if we continue to allow Satan to manipulate us and make us think that, you know, we can't just fit in. You were not born to fit in. God, you know, the Bible says we peculiar people. God didn't create us so we could just fit in with everybody, get along with everybody. No. What's on our lives sometimes ruffles folk feathers. Sometimes, you know, we while people are going downstream, we paddling upstream. And a lot of times folk don't understand you. But the thing about it is you can't be sitting around wasting your time trying to explain yourself to folk. You understand what I'm saying? I'm different. I can't explain it. And so that's sometimes, you know, when we become challenging and people, you know, folks see us coming and they start going another way. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. But that's okay. Yeah. I said, that's okay. Praise God. So there would not be complete discipleship without changing and changing their thinking patterns and changing their lifestyle and conduct. So many people who are converted, they seldom make it to discipleship. you know, they're in a new environment, but inwardly, you know, they're unchanged. They're unchanged. And a lot of time the church is helping them not to change. But because the environment is, you know, become so seeker friendly, you know, where we just trying to we trying to make the church become a social club. And so we want everybody just to fit in and want everybody to feel comfortable within, you know, with it. No. Your life ought to make folk uncomfortable when there's no light. See, your light caused darkness to get nervous around you. You know what I'm saying? When you really, you're supposed to. But we have to get to the point where we understand in our thinking that I'm supposed to be different. I'm supposed to make people walking ungodly feel uncomfortable. I'm not trying to tear anybody down and stuff, but my presence demanded. Yes, sir. My presence demand respect. Yes, sir. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So you know, people won't just say anything around you. They have respect. Now, this other person over here, they go to saying anything and stuff, but around you, they're not gonna say anything around you. Praise the Lord. So it's a whole lot of carnal Christians. They say, but you know, their minds hadn't been renewed, you know, with the word of God. The Bible talks about in Romans 8, the 8th chapter, it talks about the carnal mind. A lot of times people are really genuinely saved. They really love God, but because they're carnally minded, the carnal mind will cause you to continue to do the same thing that you were doing before you got saved. Until you renew your mind with the word of God and you begin to start thinking different. You know, one of the things that that Jesus did when Jesus came preaching, one of the first things he said, repent for the kingdom of God. See, people think that, you know, when he was saying repent, you know, he was saying something else. But no, what he was saying, it's time for you to change your pattern of thinking. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, watch this. Because he was introducing the kingdom. See, whenever you are used to, you know, being in a democracy, then you think like the democracy, you know, for the people, by the people, you know, the majority rules and that sort of thing. But how many of you know in the kingdom, your opinion don't mean nothing. No, not in the kingdom of God. Because the only person that has the word is the king.
Yes, sir.
And the king, when the king speaks, that's the law.
Yes,
so it's not our opinion. So if you got that, if you have that kind of mindset, then it's hard for you to be able to understand the kingdom. So Jesus came preaching, repent. I need y'all to change the way you've been thinking. I want you to understand that now you're under divine government.
Yes, sir.
You're not trying to give your opinion about something. The opinion has already been given. God's opinion has already been given. So we have to follow what God has already laid out. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? So the church has gotten so to the point to where what God has said, you know, we just kind of write it off. Well, you know, we're under grace. Yes, we're under grace. Apostle just finished saying, grace empowers you.
Yes, sir.
Grace empowers us to live the word out.
Yes,
praise God, because you can't do it on your own. So grace empowers you. So grace is not a cover up for sin. Grace is an empowerment. We saw it in Titus. Y'all with me?
Yes,
so, but it's whenever people don't become disciple, when they get saved, they don't become disciple, and they just run with, you know, carnal minded and with these bad thinking patterns and stuff, and their lifestyles don't change. And so when a person see them operating a certain way, They see I'm still scheming, still manipulating, still getting over. And then you name the name of Christ. Folk know that something ain't right with this. Don't mean that the person not saved. Don't mean that the person had not given their life to Christ. But the thing about it, they have not renewed their mind. So they still have the same thinking pattern. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, it said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So now he was talking to the wicked, right? But watch this. But once you get born again, you still got the same thoughts. Yeah. When you get born again, don't nothing change about you, but your spirit on the inside. Your soul is still in the same shape it was in until you do something about it. That's why we have a responsibility to do something about it. Because, see, what God is trying to do, God is trying to get us to a certain place so that everybody around us can be affected by our lifestyle. It's just like an infection. You know, when you start talking about infection, folks start getting masks and stuff, you know, and start, you know, don't want nobody breathing on, you know, because you're trying to catch whatever they have. But the thing about it is our Christianity should be like an infection. Yes, we ought to be spreading it. Yes, we ought to be sneezing, yes, coughing, yes, and spreading it all over everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We shouldn't be just sitting around, you know, just cold and calm. People don't even know we're saved most of the time. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying go out, you know, wearing no signs saying, you know, if you love Jesus, you know, wink your eyes and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying doing that kind of thing. So I'm talking about living a lifestyle that impacting other people's lives. So that's the whole point why Jesus came. And the apostolic is really to get us to a place where we start to reproducing what God has placed in us in other folk. Yes, most people want a platform behind this. When just like Apostle said, there's a pulpit in the pews. And you have to make sure that your life is impacting other folk lives. Y'all still with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So discipleship bring about a change in their thinking patterns as we teach believers to observe and devote themselves to sound doctrine. We must provide clear, sound doctrine so that the thinking patterns are changed and the lifestyle challenged to honor God. Praise God. Let me tell you something. Honoring God is not just putting your hands in the air. Y'all with me here? You honor God with your life. You honor God by the way you live. That's how you honor God. You know, I've heard people say, you know, well, you know, I give glory and honor to God. You can't do that with your mouth. You got to do that with your life. Your life ought to be saying, oh, they're giving glory and honor to God. Look how they walk. Look how they talk. They're giving glory and honor to God. God said, and the Lord is saying, oh, I'm being glorified, my kingdom being advanced, because somebody, the only Bible that some folk gonna read is your life. You got to make sure that the story is in order so they can read it properly, right? All right. After we have trained them to live out this dimension of discipleship, we need to take them to the next level. Train them to know, say, and do that which God has given us. Okay, I'm going to show you something. Philippians here. And see this, oh man, this it burns me when you got religious folk who always trying to stop folk who really trying to press them their way into the things of God, and they always got something negative, you know, to say about what the Lord is doing. But in Ephesians 4, look what the Apostle Paul said. Ephesians 4, in verse 9, he says this. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do, And the grace and the God of peace will be with you. So the Apostle Paul saying, the thing that you've learned, the thing that you saw and heard me say and do, he said, that's what you need to do. In other words, I am leaving you a clean cut example of how you ought to live this. You got to have somebody in your life that you have enough respect for that you're watching their life closely. You're watching their life closely because now just think about it in your own life. People that you know, there are some people who, you know, I remember when I was young in church and I was they had them old sisters, boy, they get up and pray, boy. And I mean, boy, they pray the heaven down. I used to say, boy, I sure wish I would like Sister So-and-so could pray like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's always supposed to be somebody with a level of spirituality that you admire to the point to where, you know, you're trying to be like them. Yeah. I want to be like Mike. Yeah. I want to be like Apostle. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, this is the thing about it. People think that you're trying to give man God's glory. No. But God has got to have a man, a woman in the earth as an example so that, see, watch this. You have to have a historical example, that's Christ. But you got to have a contemporary example. You got to have somebody in the earth that's walking it out right now. Y'all with me? You got to have somebody who's walking out right now where you can watch their life and you can imitate it. Yes, sir. Praise God. And it says here in Matthew's 28 and 19 and 20, it said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to do what? Observe all that I command you. Observe. You got to be watchful. You got to pay attention. Yes, y'all with me? I say you got to pay attention. Yes, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the disciples are to observe all that God has commanded the apostles to do. Hallelujah. So that's what Apostle Paul said, what you've seen in me, what you've learned and what you've seen me do. He said, do that. So they are to reproduce what the apostles are doing. See, that's what God's trying to bring us back to. He's trying to bring us back to. That's why, first of all, you got to have real apostles. As you got to have real apostles. You can't have a possum. You got to have an apostle. Hallelujah. And the thing about it is, man, I thank God for this on a regular basis, that God has put a man in our life that's not just talking, but walking it. You know, we've had enough counterfeit. We've had enough fake folk. Y'all with me? Yeah, we've had enough of that. But God has raised up a man. The thing about it, Apostle was walking in a lot of the apostolic before he received his call. See, God was training them all the time for it. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why we have to, that's why I believe I'm so high about honor. Because we have to learn how to honor those that God has placed in our life. And the thing about it is, respect the time that they put in with God, respect the seeking God on our behalf, and not just write them off as some regular somebody, but somebody who is to be respected. Now, you know, I say this all the time. When I was growing up, we made sure that you didn't disrespect our mom and daddy. Yeah. Look, When the neighbors came to the house, we made sure, look, don't come in my dear house with the mud on your shoes. Take them shoes off. Take them shoes off. And, you know, don't come up here, use no foul language. Don't be cussing in front of my mama. We made sure we talked to them before they got to the door. You understand what I'm saying? That's why when people come and they want to join LTMA or something, you know, we say, okay, all right now, what you looking for first? What you looking for? Because I'm going to make sure your motive right. Don't come here because you've heard apostle is a millionaire. You're not going to borrow no money. This not savings and loans. You understand what I'm saying? So we make it clear, because you're not coming here disrespecting, because we let one seed come in here and start disrespecting, and then some other folk want to do it, and some heads going to roll. Because we're not going to let you disrespect our apostle and our mom. You understand what I'm saying? We're not gonna let it happen. Hallelujah. So I feel the same way, you know. When I was growing up, made sure that they didn't respect my mom and dad. Make sure they don't disrespect my spiritual mom and dad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And some people say, you know, you kind of way out there. Yes, I am. But guess what? The Lord did it. The Lord put it in me. You understand what I'm saying? And so I ain't dodging nobody. I just come straight up with you. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you gonna stop this clowning around here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Straighten yourself up. You might have been in another organization cutting up and going on like this. We will put your butt out of here. We give you a little grace. We give you a little time to try to get yourself together. But if you ain't getting together, we ship you out. Go back over there, carry that food. Hey, one man, you know, one man, you know, he come from something. I don't know where he come from. But he came to LTMA. He was in here for a little while. But he was inviting women out to eat lunch with him while we on the road. And so somebody, you know, told on him. And so he, you know, he was trying to make it like, you know, it wasn't all of that and stuff like that. And then he did it again. And you know, we just found out, you know, he just want to hoe around. Go back to your other organization. Go back over there and stuff, because we're not going to have this. Because we're not going to have nobody looking at you and then thinking that we allow this kind of stuff up in here. Get your books and your stuff and just go ahead on back over there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And listen to me. I'm not trying to condemn nobody. I'm not trying to put nobody down. But we on business assignment. Yes. You know, Jesus told, when they was talking, Jesus' mom them saying that where he was and everything and stuff, and they looking for him. Said, we've been looking for you. He said, you know, I got to be above my father. I came here for this. This is the reason I was sent. I was sent to take care of my father's business. So unless you see this as the father's business, then, amen, you're going to be just nonchalant about things. No. I come here on assignment. I didn't come here to make no friends. I didn't come here to be chummy with nobody. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And so we have to have an attitude, man. Look, we got to take care of business. We ain't come here to be fooling around. And so our life got to show that. Let people see it in our life, the life we live. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thus, discipleship is not only to regulate a person's behavior according to what we are teaching him, but also to train someone who will be able to reproduce us in all that God is calling us to do. The disciples must be apostolic in nature, thinking paradigm, and lifestyles. See, he's got to understand government. He got to understand that government has been set up a certain way. You can't come in here with no attitude. You know, God dog it. God was telling me, say, man, you know, I don't know, you know, sometimes I come to the meeting and stuff, I kind of feel like, you know, I don't fit in or something like that. You know, I said, why you feel like that? Well, sometimes, you know, that just kind of make me feel. I said, no, ain't nobody make you feel like that. That's the way you felt before you came. That's the way you see yourself. You see yourself as people, you know, calling you the black sheep. You felt like that in your family. You were the black sheep of the family. Now you come up here, you're talking about, well, people feel. No. It's, you got to grow up when you come in here. We're not gonna babysit you. We're not gonna be patting you on the back tomorrow. It's gonna be all right after a while in the sweet by and by. No, you're gonna get it right in the now, in the nasty right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, indeed, because apostle got to keep on doing what, I mean, people, you know, sometimes people want to come every now and then and stuff like that. And by the time apostle moving so fast, by the time you done miss, you know, four or five meetings, you know, you ain't been on the internet or none of that kind of stuff. Yeah, you're going to be left behind. You're going to feel like you're out of place. So it's your responsibility to make sure that you make the meetings, or either you're online and you're watching. Praise the Lord. I don't mean to sound like I'm mean, but I am. Cause it just got some folk that just want to play with the things of God. And so, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm really a nice guy though, you know. Discipleship is not only, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So then that's the So discipleship is not only giving them a set of doctrines to adhere to, but discipleship means to reproduce after our kind, so that there'll be more of those who are observing all that God has taught the arrowhead leader. See, when it comes down, watch this, y'all. Although apostles are teaching a whole lot of things, you know, the assignment that he's been given is to the body of Christ is finances, right? Okay, all right. So now, if God has given him that assignment, and then God has called him to make millionaires. So, all right, okay, all right. So I really have to become a student. See, I got to find out what he did and what he's doing. Now, praise the Lord. Now, ignorance is not knowing what to do, but stupidity is not asking. You know somebody got the goods, and you don't even try to find out how to do it, what they're doing. You understand what I'm saying? That's stupidity. Because, watch this. Oh, God, help me with this. See, if God told him to make millionaires, then first of all, I decided I'm going to be one that he make. So that's going to take some discipline on my part. That's going to take some discipline in my finances. Because I know that I'm going to have to sow seeds. Praise the Lord. All right. So this is something that I found to be a powerful thing. Let me see. Hold on. Let me show you something. Turn to. I think I want in the Message Bible too. Turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 30. No. Go to Proverbs 6. I'll go to Proverbs 30. In 24 it says, there are four small creatures, wise as of the wise they are. Then it talks about the ant. It talks about frail as they are. They get plenty of food for the winter. You see that? They get plenty of food. In other words, they prepare. So, In Proverbs 6, verse 6. Look what the Amplified Bible says. I'm not the Amplified, the Message Bible says. It says, you lazy fool. Look at the ant. Watch it closely. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer it stores food. At harvest it stockpiles provision. So how long are you going to laze around doing nothing? How long before you get out of bed a nap here and a nap there, a day off here and a day off there, sit back, take it easy, and do, watch him say, do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirty poor life, poverty, your permanent house guest. So the King James Version says over there in Proverbs 30 and 24, it talks about the ant being small, but it don't have strength, right? Okay, so watch this. He prepares. He's not strong, but his preparation make him look strong. His preparation make up for the lack of strength. So watch this. So if I'm going to be in the school of prosperity, which my apostle is teaching us, because we got a whole lot to do for the kingdom of God. Yes, and it's going to take a lot of finances. Yes, y'all with me? Yes, so that means that I have got to, first of all, I need to study the ant because I need to prepare seed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I need to have prepared seed. See, all right, watch this. Just like Founders Day and Matriarchs Night, I start the next day after it's over, putting it to the side. You don't have to put that much. Just keep on doing it. Continue to do it. That's what the ant do. The ant, if you watch the ant, they kind of little old piece of bread. They're going, they marching forever to get to where they're going. And then when they get to where they're going, they put it wherever. Then you see them going a long line again, you with nothing. And then when you see them coming back, they bringing something else. They just, they can't be taking that. They can't be carrying that much because they're not strong. But they are so disciplined in their preparation. Till, amen, they're going to be able to last the whole winter because they prepared. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So if I'm going to be in the school of prosperity, I need to be preparing seed. I know you like that nice dress. But there are times when you ought to settle for what you already got. Y'all better, Lord, how much, y'all don't start me up in here. Hallelujah. Because you're serious about this thing. This ain't, look, listen to me. This prosperity not just going to happen to me by on accident. It's going to be on purpose. Because I have purpose in my heart that I'm not just going to sit around apostle teaching and he's giving his life and he's pouring out his life. And then I'm just going to be somebody who that's going to be following him and nothing ever happened. All that is a sign that I hadn't really been properly following. Hallelujah. Because see, watch this. If I have to deny myself of some things now for the future, I do what I got to do, I'm going to be like the ant. I'm going to use some wisdom. I'm going to keep putting up. Keep for the purpose of sowing. Because sowing is going to cause me to increase. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, oh, God. So we got to reproduce ourselves. We got the apostle trying to reproduce itself in us. Hallelujah. About my time running. But look, listen to this. All through the Bible, you'll see where men was pouring themselves into other men, or women or whatever, Naomi and them. You know what I'm saying? They're pouring themselves into other, because, and the Lord said this to me a few years ago. The Lord said to me, he said that apostle is already cut a trail. That's what he said to me. He said apostle has already cut a trail. He said he's all he got all the wounds for it. He been stuck by the brows and everything, trying to cut a trail for us. He had to take, you know, all the criticism. People say, you know, this man ain't nothing but about money. They never knew his heart. See, this is what the Lord said to me. The Lord said that the Bible said that a tree, the way you know a tree is by its fruit. He said, that's why I said judge not, because no man know another man's heart. He said, but the thing about it is, a lot of times people pass, and this has happened to me. I've passed going down the road, and I've seen on a tree, I'm thinking that, you know, it's oranges or something, because I'm far away from it. And then get up close to it, and it's a peach. I judged it wrong, because I wasn't close enough to it to see. Sometimes people don't get close enough to person to see the fruit. But they judge. That's why the Bible said don't judge. Because you don't know the motive of a person's heart. So he had to take all the criticism and that kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? So that we can begin to walk in something that the trail has already been cut out. Already been cut out. All I need to do is just walk in it. The pastor said, this is what I did. I sowed my seed. So praise the Lord. So I'm not trying to make no bills. Lord have mercy. See, Lord have mercy. See, that's what Satan get us tempted. We get a little raise on the job. First thing we want to go do, we want to go and try to strengthen our credit. We gotta go get this new living room set. We got the other one we had was nice. But we went over to cutting best in them house, and they had a bad sectional in there. You know what I'm saying? And so now I'm tempted to go get one at the expense of my seed. Hallelujah. Lord have mercy. I got stuck here on this thing. But apostle is trying. He's trying to train us in something, but we have to pay closer attention, and we can't let the world shape our thinking to the point to where we got to be competing with them. No, I don't have to compete with this person. You know, I've heard people say this. Say, well, Pastor, you know, you got people, you know, they don't even tithe, they don't even go to church or nothing, and look like they're doing so good and stuff. Can I help y'all? Can I help you? See, the Bible say they that compare themselves with themselves are unwise. You have no idea what God is trying to take you. A lot of times when you're going through the process, what God is trying to shape your character, what God is trying to get you in a position where he's going to be always your source, not your job, not your bank account, none of that, but God is your source. So there's some trails he got to take you down. And the thing about it is, he's going to do so much in your life than he's done in this person's life that you're comparing yourself with. But because you see them experiencing it now, you get tempted to do what they're doing, and then you rob God of what he want to do for you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, saints of God, you can't be watching the next person next to you. Because if God has so much more for you, then why are you going to settle for what he's done for them? I mean, I admire you, I applaud, praise the Lord, glory to God for what the Lord's doing for you. But God is working on something great in my life. And I'm not going to allow myself to get tempted to compete and lose out in my place where God is. Oh, God. Boy, look, my time, I got a minute here. But I'm going to say one more thing here. The Lord revealed something to me. He gave me scripture for it and everything. You know how folk go from this church to that church and that kind of thing and stuff? That's not the will of God. Because God is the one responsible for setting you in the right place, in your set place. And once you get in your set place, you don't really have an opinion about leaving. You know, somebody said this here, something, you gonna go and leave. Watch it, come on, I'm gonna help you right here. I got 30 seconds. Did you decide who was gonna be your mom and daddy? In the natural. Just think about who. Did you decide? Who decided? God decided what family you were going to be in. So how in the world, when it comes to spiritual things, we decide who's going to be our spiritual father? It's not how you start. It's how you finish.